And we're going to be reading Psalm 103, 7 through 12 this morning. Okay. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us.
We're going to take a week for a standalone message that I actually preached at one of our partner churches a few weeks ago because I thought it was an important message. Nathan, I know you're going to hear it again, and Talia sat through three services where I preached it. But I want you guys to hear this message because I think that it is so important for us to know the patience of God, to know that our Heavenly Father is patient, because sometimes because we think God is like us, we feel like God is always frustrated with us. We feel like he's always angry with us. We feel like he's ready to let us go, and that is not the nature of God. One of God's fantastic, perfect attributes is that he is perfectly patient with us. When we shared our testimonies, we had five people from this church share their testimonies a few weeks ago. What I heard over and over again, I heard people say that I've been a great sinner. When I knew the path I should have went on, I chose the other way. I had seasons where I rebelled against God. I had seasons where I wanted to try to run away from God. But God was always, and this is what I heard, patient with me. He never let me go. He was for me. He was a loving father. And everything in my life he used for good. And they said, that's why I'm standing here today to testify that God is still with me. God is still for me. I am following Jesus and I will worship Jesus forever. They testified. We testified about the patience of God. And it's only in that soil that a man or a woman can grow in Christ. You can't grow rightly with an angry father. You can't grow rightly with an angry father because you will be motivated by the wrong things. You might be motivated by unhealthy fear or motivated by just the consequences. But when you're motivated by love and there's a healthy fear of the Lord and the Lord is able to discipline us and we know that he does it because he loves us. There's wonderful growth in the gospel and God brings us to maturity where we're able to reflect the glory of God in Christ. Amen? I want you guys to know personally, this is part of my prayer for us, that we know the patience of God personally so much that we're able to grow in his patience and grace and be patient to others. So there's three things that I want us to focus on today, that God reveals himself as patient, that God is patient with us, and that God wants his patience to flow through us to others. He wants to use us in that way for his patience to flow through us to others. So let's start here with the fact that our God has revealed himself as patient. If you look at this text, the one that Natalie read, the first verse says, he made his ways known to Moses. Now, we don't live on the speculation of man. We don't live only by what we could observe by the empirical evidence. We live on the revelation that God gives us. We can only know who God is by who he reveals himself to be. For instance, if I just met you and we just showed up, we had an awkward handshake and we just looked at each other, I could make all kinds of assumptions about you. Some could be wrong, some could be right, but I tell you one thing, I wouldn't hit the nail right on the head. Know what I would need for you to do for me to get to know who you are. I would need for you to open up your mouth and tell me who you are. Now, we are sinners, so we might exaggerate stuff, we might lie, we might make up some stories to make ourselves look better. But when God reveals himself, we can live our life according to that truth. And God revealed himself to Moses as patient. As patient. And I want to give you some context here so you guys can understand when God, I believe, the first time revealed himself as patient. God had just delivered the people of Egypt. No, the people of Israel out of Egypt. They were in bondage and slavery for, I believe, roughly 400 years. Had taskmasters, an oppressive life. They did hard labor. They didn't get much. They were oppressed. God shows up in a miraculous way that the world had never seen. We've all seen the movies. If you haven't seen even the cartoon movie of Moses, Prince of Egypt, it's one of the best ones ever made. The songs even get you. You'll be singing them. But God shows up and he does mighty signs and wonders to show that he is God. And Egypt was one of the most dominant world powers, the dynasties at the time. And God shakes that dynasty with his power to show that he is the God among gods. That everyone bows down to him. And the Pharaoh, one of the most powerful men on earth at the time, he lets God's people go. It says the angel of Yahweh was with them. He splits the sea, God, to free his people. Not only so they had a better route, to show off his majesty and his power. Those very people walk through on dry ground in the Red Sea. They get to the other side at the base of Mount Sinai. Moses goes up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And what do the people do? They craft idols to worship. They commit themselves to all kinds of debauchery and sin. So Moses is up at the top of the mountain, speaking with God himself. God writes with his very hands on the tablets the law so they can live in love and peace and relationship with God. Moses comes down that mountain, and what does he behold? What does he see? The people worshiping other gods. The people committing debauchery and heinous sin. And do you know what Moses did? He tombstoned the Ten Commandments. Psh! Smashed them. Do you know how mad you have to be to smash the Ten Commandments? The scriptures say Moses burned hot because he knew God had poured so much love and so much freedom and showed off his power in such a magnificent way. He was thinking, how could these people, after all God has done for them, be doing this, and we just walk through a sea? And God swallowed up all his enemies, but he saved us. How can they turn back to sin like this? Moses thinks there's no way that God is going to deal with this. Now, I've heard about people smashing a bunch of things. I've been pastoring for a long time. I heard about one person smashed a 55-inch TV because his girlfriend cheated on him, and he said, you ain't watching TV on my TV that I paid for. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just testifying. I've heard of people smashing remote controls, young men playing video games because they can't make it to the next level. I've heard of married couples that have counseled who just start chucking stuff off cabinets because they're mad at each other. None of you guys, you're too holy for that. But to burn like that, you must have a feeling, because he's holding tablets that God has written on. You must have a feeling that everything that just happened is not worth it, because look at these people. There's no way God's going to be in covenant with us, because look at these people. But you know what God did to reveal himself as patient? This is magnificent. I need you to hear this today. God's reaction to all that, he said, Moses, get two more tablets and meet me at the top of the mountain again. Get two more tablets and meet me at the top of the mountain again. And he says in Exodus 34:6, this is the first time God reveals this attribute of patience. He says, the Lord passed before him. The Lord passed before Moses. And the first thing he says to Moses, when he meets him at the top of that mountain again with the tablets, he says this. He says, God proclaimed this. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. What I want you to hear is in Hebrew, the best word we have to understand God's patience is slow to anger. That Hebrew word matches up with patience. God proclaims and says, Moses, you see what just happened? I'm long-suffering, slow to anger, and I'm patient. I'm making covenant with these people because I am faithful, even if they're not. Do you guys see that revelation there? What a wonderful truth that our God is patient. Where would we be if our Father wasn't patient? Who would we be if God wasn't patient with us? But what a wonderful reality and revelation to grow in that God is going to be patient with us for eternity. Amen, Restoration Road? There's no fear, and Jesus said this so wonderfully about his Father, boasting in his Father. He said, no one is going to rip you out of the hands of my Father. It's impossible. See, some of you might have felt today that God is so angry with you that he's ready to let you go. I'm here to tell you that's absolutely impossible, because that's not who God is, and that's not how he rolls. He loves us so much. And if you read the next verse in this passage in Psalm 103, like a father who tenderly loves his children, our Heavenly Father loves us. And I'm telling you, when you love your child, no one's taking that child away from you. Right? We can testify that. So the first thing we need to hear is God is patient. And the reason we can live by that, worship him because of that, and reflect that, is because he, with his very own words, has proclaimed that. The second thing is God is patient with us. See, our tendency might be, oh, God's patient with them. God's patient with the left side of the pews. God's patient with them because they're semi-good people. And we forget that God is personally patient with us. He loves you in such a patient way that your persistent sin, my persistent sin, will never outlast his persistent patience. It will never outlast his persistent patience. Now, you have to think of the people Israel. When Moses went back up and he comes back down, they have to think, something's going to happen because of what we just did, right? What is Moses going to say to us because of what we just did? What is the mediator between God and man, the high priest? What's he going to proclaim to us? What a joy to see him coming down with two tablets that says once again, I'm for you, I'm with you, I fight for you, I'm your God. And we really need to hear that today. See, because some of us, I don't know if you're like me, struggle with, first of all, being patient and understanding that God is patient. Really understanding that. There was a period in my life where I started to realize, and God began to teach me, that I didn't understand that he was patient with me. Just little things. Like, you, I don't know if Netflix still does this, but you know how they categorize your movies on Netflix? According to what you like? 95% of my movies were running out of time. Joey, you're running out of time. I realized I lived my life like I was running out of time. It made my conversations with people short. I was like, I got to get out of here. Everything I'd done, there's someone over me like, I got to get this done. But there really was no time limit. I was making them on myself. Anyone else testify to that? We're in a rush around here in Boston. Everyone's in a rush for no reason. And you say, well, you got to go. I don't know, but I got to go somewhere. Everyone is in a rush. So I started realizing, wow, I feel like God's over me like a taskmaster, and he never gave himself that name. The name God gave himself was Father. And I don't have to live in a rush, and I can understand he's patient towards me, and I can love other people with patience. And there's one simple yard work story that really brought it home. There's always a good yard work story when you're with the legendary Joe Vec. Can I get an amen? God teaches you things through the legendary Joe Vec, and he always gets embarrassed when I say these things. There was a bush in front of my house. I hate yard work with a passion. Joe Vec loves yard work with a passion. So I saw this bush that was thrown off the symmetry of the yard. I said, it's got to come out. I can't deal with it anymore. But I showed up with an attitude, and I had to get it done because it's not taking my Saturday. Joe Vec showed up with an 1894 shovel that had been passed down from four generations, from his father's father and their father's father. And he put that shovel in the ground with a smile and like, man, this is the best day of my life. It's like at Disney World. And I'm frustrated. I'm looking at it. I'm like, and I literally, this is what I did. I'm not making this up. I went to the base of the bush and I grabbed it. I was in my late 20s, early 30s. I thought just with brute strength, I could pull this bush out of the ground. And I'm pulling the bush and I'm moving around. And I'm sweating, cutting myself, and I'm trying to yank it. And I looked over at my father-in-law holding a shovel. He had a confused look on his face. And he said, you're trying to do something in 1 minute that's going to take us a half an hour. You're trying to do something in 1 minute that's going to take us a half an hour. And it was just a moment that God really showed me that the way he deals with me is not the way I deal with myself. He's not ripping at me and sweating and mad and frustrated. He knows how long it's going to take for us to look more like Christ, amen? He's not trying to do something in 1 minute that's going to take a half an hour. He's allowing the gospel every day, every week, every year of our life, and he's molding us into the image of Christ. And he will finish the work that he started, and we can live in that grace. And that changed the way I looked at things. All of a sudden, I'm not in a rush. All of a sudden, I understood that I can be who I am now in Christ and take that forgiveness and grow day by day because he has a plan for my life and a plan for all of our lives, and he's a patient father. Amen? He's taking his time with us. Thank God we have that kind of God. Thank God he's persistently patient. And the reason I need you guys to hear this because, you know, when we think of ourselves and we think of our own filth and we think of our sin and we think of our shortcomings and we think of our failures, we say, how can God love me and be patient with me that way? That's a really, it's a good question. And this is the answer. We see it in this passage and it leads us right to the gospel because he doesn't deal with us according to our sins. It says it in verse 10. And some of us might have wrongly understand. Have a crooked understanding, and they call it retribution theology. Retribution theology. That every time we do something wrong, God's going to make us pay for it. And we're always afraid. I owe God. I'm in debt to God. We're not in debt to God. Because God doesn't deal with us according to our sins because of the cross of Christ. Amen? The retribution was poured out on Christ on the cross. It was poured out on Christ. We cannot pay for our own sins. And God can only be patient with us because he doesn't deal with us according to our sins, because Christ dealt with our sins on the cross. When he loves us, when he looks at us, I heard a preacher say that he sees a beauty because he sees the work of Christ. He sees someone innocent and someone blameless and someone guiltless and someone sinless. Because he sees Christ, and that's everything Christ is. And that's why his nature and his disposition, he can be absolutely patient with us. You can grow in that soil. That's called the gospel. That's why it's great news. That's what the gospel means, good news. Want me to tell you some bad news? You have to earn God's patience. How you doing? Listen, you do this, that, and this week, and maybe God will be patient with you. That's not divine patience at his heart. Divine patience is different. Divine patience is God is able to deal with us and be slow to anger because Christ paid it all. Christ paid it all. So when I tell you guys live in the gospel, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm saying, yes, you're a mess. I'm a mess. But I'm saying Christ was perfect and pure, and that's why we have hope. Amen, Restoration Road? That's why we have hope. I almost heard a hand clap rumble. You scaredy cats. I know someone wanted to clap. I'm not forcing you. I just felt it in the... Maybe you did too. So we hear those first two points. That God reveals himself as patient. And that he is personally patient with us. Now, as image bearers, there's something that always has to happen. We take what God has done for us vertically and we move it horizontally. Meaning God made us image bearers to reflect his love. So that patience he shows us is always meant to reflect to others. Do you know the world is weary and tired in need of people who are patient with them? The world is so hungry for patience. Have you been on the roads lately? Patient? Do you come home like, man, people are patient around here? No, it's like they're crazy out there. Everyone's in a rush. Everyone's mad at me. I don't even know the people, and they go home and they talk to their family about me. He cut me off. Whole day done. It was a good day. Then they showed up. People are hungry for patience. God wants to show his patience to others through us. And that can only happen when we feel the patience of God ourselves. I remember years ago when we used to meet in Nazareth Academy. I had this great idea. I thought it was a great idea. Let's paint the walls in the meeting place. And all these walls, they felt like they were like 32 feet high. So I said, we'll get some rollers. We'll invite people. We'll have a painting party. I don't know if you've had a big painting party, but it seems like a great idea to the people show up. These people got more on the floor than they did on the wall. And it was during a time when God was really working on my heart. I mean, these four dudes showed up, big burly brothers. They're like, we're ready to help, Pastor. I was like, okay, grab a roller, this and that. I'm telling you, I don't know if you guys know the game Splatoon. My daughters play it. The whole goal of the game is to get it all on the floor and win the game. These dudes were just like, smiling. I burned hot like Moses. And I'm thinking, we're renting this place out. We can't be splatooning the floor. But God was working on me, so I gave a nice little speech. I called the troops in. I said, listen, we're going to try to not get paint on the floor. All right, I'm going to do this in patience. I'm going to do this in love. Stop painting the floor. You have to say that to people. Sometimes people don't see that. So they said, okay, we got it, Joey, we got it. I was next to this one guy. He was the worst of the bunch. It wasn't his gift. You understand me? And he's painting, and I'm painting next to him. We were just sharing with him about the gospel. He was new to even thinking about the faith. And he did one really bad one. He went in, splatooned, and even he looked at me like, and I was like, by the grace of God, I looked at him, I said, his name was Ross. I said, Ross, don't worry about it, man. We'll clean it up later. Now, I wasn't ready for the change that happened on his face. He went from fear to kind of overwhelmed with a kind of emotion he never felt before. And I saw it through his facial expression. I saw him working through that. And he looked at me and said, Joey, he said, this is the first time in my life that anyone has been patient with me. He said, it's the first time in my life that anyone has been patient with me. And the reason I tell you that is because people are so hungry. I would never think that there's people out there growing up in families having experiences where they never feel the patience of God through his vessels. And just that moment of saying, it's going to be all right, we'll clean it up later, it showed that attribute of God's patience to someone else. And I want us to be aware of that in our everyday life because it's a powerful tool for the gospel and for evangelism. Because you might show someone the patience of God. God might send someone around later who shares the gospel and they have a softened heart and they might come to the knowledge of Christ. Amen? You know, one sows, one waters, one reaps. We're all part of an evangelistic team across many churches who are doing the work of God. And the power of patience in a hungry world, I'm telling you, it's huge. I want to give you a few things because I want to tie it to everyday life because sometimes we say just be patient. It can be helpful, but let's be intentional on some things we can be patient in. And it's something I already brought up. Be long-suffering on the roads. And the reason I talk about it because we live the Christian ethic out in our everyday life. It's on the roads. It's in restaurants. It's at our jobs. Be patient on the roads. Like one of the worst things can be have the Restoration Road bumper sticker on, you're pulled out in the middle down the rotary just out of the car yelling at people. That doesn't help the cause. But to be patient, to push back on a culture that is beeping on you before the light even turns green. That happened to you? I might be venting a little bit because I'm the slowest driver on the East Coast. But I intentionally think when I let someone go, when I let someone walk by, that if I can be a nice, kind act and a patient act towards them, that it's really making a difference. Just if all these people in the world, all these people at this church, if we were patient and we were long-suffering with people on the roads, that makes a difference. How about in the restaurants? What if someone gives you bad customer service? Are you flipping tables like you think you're Jesus in the temple? It didn't warm the buns right. We as Christians, to live out the Christian ethic in everyday life, restaurants are a human institution, and they are going to get it wrong sometimes. And if we can be patient in those situations, you show off the aroma of Christ. I'm telling you, this is the everyday powerful stuff. This is the stuff that really affects people's life. When they go home from a long day, something's happened to them, and when we're rude as Christians, and they go home and they don't see the light that's supposed to shine through us, because they do good works to glorify your Father in heaven, there's bad customer service all the time. And we're not called to cause an uproar or be rude. We're called to bless those that curse us and bless those who don't serve us right and love our enemies. We're called to be different, have that aroma of Christ, that different kind of patience. This is the real stuff. This is where we live our lives. You know, recently we went up to North Conway and we decided we're going to go horseback riding. I was a little stressed because when you're up there, it always seems higher than it should, right? Maybe I'm a short guy. I feel like I'm like 25 feet high, just like. So I'm nervous going there. We get there, and it is the rudest woman I've ever met in any customer service ever in the history of my life. She acted like we were bothering her because we wanted to ride the horses. It's a horseback place. I was like, man, I don't know. Am I inconveniencing you? I don't know. Like, we signed up to ride the horses. And so the rumbling started in the crew. And I said, listen, I said to maybe one or two people, I said, she might be anxious. And maybe she has a lot going on with her job and this and that. And maybe if we just continue to be kind, things will change. Or at least we're showing off Christ. She was rude for like 20 minutes. I'm telling you, some of the rudest customer service we ever got, man. My helmet was too tight, too big. I looked ridiculous. I didn't complain. I'm getting on the horse. Do you know that as we continued to be patient with her, she totally opened up and became one of the friendliest people to talk to? Because people are going through anxieties that you don't know about, that I don't know about. They're going through pain and addictions and struggles that we don't know about. And if God held us to the same standards that we hold others to when we're quick to anger with them, then we wouldn't have a God that's able to even deal with us. You can't operate in this world without a long-suffering and patience that's given by the Spirit of God, amen? And even in customer service, when we're able to do that, you really are changing lives and you're following the greatest commandment, which is loving your neighbor. We love our neighbor on the roads. We love our neighbor in the restaurants. We love him when we go out with our families horseback riding and we go on vacations. That's where the Christian ethic, born by the Spirit of God, is lived out. That's where it's lived out. And finally, the last intentional thing I want to say is we spend most of our life in the workplace. We're going to have people who are harsh with us, people who mistreat us. Some of us are managers and overseers, and people maybe not doing the job right. And you know what? God might have brought them into your life so you can show off the patience of Christ and allow them to grow. And he's allowing you to foster that growth where they wouldn't get it anywhere else, where they need that patience so they can grow in Christ and have a chance to see the glory of God, that they might repent and believe and put their faith in the gospel. Amen? Like, that's where we live out our life, where the gospel patience, God's patience, can shine through us to others. Parents, I want to encourage you. I know it's not easy to be patient with your kids. It's not easy, I understand. But when we're able, by the grace of God, to trust his gospel and be patient with our kids are able to see the nature of God in us. That's a powerful thing. I know husbands and wives, it's not easy to be patient with each other. It's not easy to be patient with each other because we're sinful creatures. We're selfish creatures by nature. But God can soften our hearts with his patience so we can love each other in our marriages, amen, and be patient with each other. So I want to say, give you this closing definition of patience. It's by a theologian named A.W. Pink. He just gave this powerful definition of patience that I thought was awesome. He says, the patience of God is that excellency which causes him to sustain great injuries without immediately avenging himself. Can I read that to you again? The patience of God is that excellency which causes him to sustain great injuries without immediately avenging himself. When I read that definition, I thought about the gospel, did you? That Christ sustained great injury on our part so that God could deal with us in patience. There has never been a greater act of patience and long-suffering than Christ on the cross. Amen? So every time we want to be impatient, every time we think God is not patient with us, every time we think God is angry and he wants to let us go, look at the cross of Christ and it testifies that God is patient and he's holding on to us. Amen? We are his and he is ours. We are his children and we will worship him for all eternity because he is a patient, a long-suffering, and slow to anger Father. Let's pray.